After an extensive beta cycle, GW Micro has released WindowEyes Professional. The new screen reader works with Windows 2000 and XP and includes the WindowEyes standard product for those who wish to run WindowEyes under 9X or Millennium. WindowEyes standard users can also upgrade to version 4.2 of that product, which is a maintenance release. Both versions of the product include the recently announced support for Macromedia Flash Player version 6. The name of the person behind the fake official Jaws list is now widely known. Octavian Rasnita sent an email message to hundreds of blind people a week and a half ago, claiming to be Eric, spelled with a K, from Freedom Scientific. In his message, he said that, as could be verified on the Freedom Scientific website, Freedom Scientific had decided to begin running its own official Jaws list. He said people should reply to the message if they wish to become members of the new Freedom Scientific list. Those who did reply were subscribed to a Jaws list on Yahoo groups run by Rasnita. After the heat went on, he sent a second message to the same large number of people, apologizing for the stunt, saying that he wanted to trick some people who don't know too much about computers. Eric Damery, the product manager for Jaws for Freedom Scientific, says he's written to Rasnita, but he says he doesn't intend to give Rasnita the attention he craves by taking the matter further. Consumers in the US can expect a cut of up to $3 in their monthly bills for cable high-speed internet service under a federal ruling on Thursday that frees the cable company service from heavy regulation. The Federal Communications Commission action is also likely to lead to a controversial but widely anticipated move to relieve the cable giants of requirements to open cable broadband service to rival internet service providers. The FCC ruled on Thursday that cable modem broadband is an information service, not a telecommunications or cable service. The immediate result is that the majority of cities that charge cable operators a 5% franchise fee on all cable-related revenue must now exempt cable modem income from the tax. About 7.2 million households have cable modem service. The spokespeople for the US's biggest cable companies, AT&T Broadband, Comcast, AOL Time Warner, and Cox Communications, all said they'd pass those savings on to consumers. Most list franchise fees as a separate item on the bill. A plan to change who was responsible for running the internet has been roundly criticized by net veterans. Last month, the head of ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, the body which oversees the net, proposed radically changing the organization to make it more effective. But others say the plans won't achieve their aim and do nothing to give ICANN the power it needs to make changes to the way the net is run. One member of ICANN's board has called the plan corporate suicide. Big Budget ICANN was created in November of 1998 and took over from the US-based Network Solutions in coordinating the work of the many organizations that keep the net running. But the organization has never fully resolved questions about how it should function and who should participate in its decision-making. At a meeting in Accra, Guyana, ICANN said the 500 million people who use the internet should have a voice in overseeing the system that guided email and web browsers around the network. But it stopped short of opening itself up to global elections. Instead, the organization has set up a committee to come up with a specific plan by the time ICANN next meets in Romania in June. AOL Time Warner Incorporated's flagship AOL Internet unit is expected to start testing soon a web browser using the guts of its Netscape technology, opening up the possibility that the media giant plans to drop rival Microsoft Corporation's Internet Explorer. AOL spokesman Jim Whitney confirmed that the company has already shipped a Netscape browser in their test software for its discount internet service CompuServe. The browser is powered by Gecko technology that was developed through an open source project called Mozilla. It's rumored that the same type of testing will be undertaken at AOL, which has about 34 million members worldwide. The trial rekindles the debate over the possible battle of the browsers, with AOL dropping Microsoft's browser technology and turning to its own Netscape technology as the two giants vie for control over various areas of the internet. AOL bought Netscape in 1999, but the browser technology it was known for floundered, leaving many in the industry to speculate on the fate of Netscape. But news that AOL will soon be testing the technology that powers the browser suggests that AOL is not ready to abandon it. The company's contract to use the market-leading Internet Explorer browser expired in January 2001, but through residual rights, AOL is free to use the browser technology as long as it wants. Streamcast Network, the creator of the popular Morpheus file trading software, has unveiled a plan that it hopes will help it to become a more legitimate means of music distribution. The company is adding new digital rights management, or anti-copying technology, to its set of software and services. It's called for independent artists to distribute their work through the Morpheus file trading network using this technology to help solicit payment for their work and guard against piracy. With its new technology, the company is moving down a path well worn by Napster, as that file trading service came under fire from the record industry for allowing illegal trades of copyrighted works. It too mounted a campaign to solicit support from independent artists who used it to distribute their work. Several musicians gave Napster permission to let their work be traded, as well as their endorsements, and the startup paid some artists and labels for use of their work. The company pointed to this as proof that the file trading technology had substantial non-infringing uses, which could have been one legal shield in court, but it wasn't enough to keep a federal judge from ordering restrictions on the company severe enough to shut down the service last July. It may be more famous for making typewriters, but Olympia has just released what some observers are calling one of the sexiest gadgets of this year's CeBIT show in Hanover, a small device that can turn pretty much any flat surface into a soundboard. The soundbug can be plugged into the headphone socket of, for example, an MP3 player or a Walkman, and then fixed by suction to a flat surface, effectively turning a desk or a window into a speaker. Set to go on sale in the UK for £29.99, the soundbug, which is roughly the same size as a computer mouse, will be targeted at the youth market, but it's also likely to appeal to a much wider range of technology users. The sound quality achieved by a soundbug is impressive, especially when the device is attached to a thick piece of dense material, such as a desk. It's even possible to daisy-chain two soundbugs together to achieve stereo sound, even when both are stuck to the same surface. The soundbug was developed in partnership with Newlands Scientific, a medical research company that was spun off from Hull University. The soundbug transmits the sound to the flat surface by way of a small piece of terphenol, which is a mixture of rare earth metals and iron. This substance is placed within an aluminium case, around which is wrapped a coil. Passing electricity through the coil causes the piece of terphenol to slightly expand, resulting in a force of 400 pounds. Once attached to a flat surface, soundbug will transmit signals into mechanical energy, causing the flat surface to vibrate and broadcasting the sound. The company says there are many exciting applications for this technology, which is called magnetostriction. In theory, it could create noise-insulating windows that could block out the sound of traffic. Olympia also demonstrated a mobile phone version of Soundbug that will be targeted at business workers. A high-end conference phone version is also being developed, which will mean everyone seated around a table would be able to hear the phone conversation equally clearly. For now, though, the focus is on the launch of Soundbug next month. An unpatched flaw in Microsoft's Internet Explorer 6 browser could enable attackers to shut down the computers of some users who visit a specially designed web page. The flaw, commonly referred to as the Codebase Local Path Vulnerability, was reported to Microsoft in January and February by separate security researchers and may have been identified as early as June of 2000. Until recently, demonstrations of the flaw have been harmless enough, launching programs such as the Windows Calculator or Paint program when users click a link on a web page. But the new incarnation, which automatically executes when an IE6 user views a booby-trapped web page or HTML email, is designed to fire up a Microsoft utility that logs the user off the computer. The program logoff.exe appears to be included by default on all Windows XP systems. The utility is also part of a resource kit for Windows NT and Windows 2000, but doesn't appear to be standard on those systems. A similar program, shutdown.exe, also appears to ship with XP and is included in the resource kit for Windows NT and Windows 2000. If combined with the exploit, either program could cause loss of unsaved data, security experts said. Growing incidents of spam attacks on instant messaging networks are raising vexing questions about the future of one of the fastest-growing technologies on the Internet. Unsolicited commercial appeals on instant messengers are still uncommon, but they have become prevalent enough that some IM fans are worrying that their networks are vulnerable to the seemingly unstoppable marketing deluge that has long plagued email inboxes. For the first time, worldwide sales of cellular phones have dipped last year as the wireless carriers reduced subsidies for new phones and many consumers held off on upgrades, tech consultant Gartner DataQuest reported. The decline was 3.2% from 412.7 million handsets in 2000 to 399.6 million in 2001. That's a sharp break from the growth rates between 1996 and 2000, when each year saw a sales increase of 60%, Gartner said on Monday's report. In the near future, the industry can expect percentage sales growth in the order of small single digits, or, to be extremely optimistic, the low double digits, said Gartner analyst Brian Prom. Most of the decline was in Western Europe, where cell phone use is already near ubiquitous. Phone companies decreased their discounts for new cell phones with prepaid call plans, a money-losing strategy that had turned into a cheap way for consumers to upgrade their handsets, Prom said. Sales were up in North America, despite a mild recession in the United States, but the first cell phones to use the next generation of wireless services, launched in Europe and Japan, failed to find many buyers despite promising features like improved web access. Prom says consumers were looking for real improvements over older models before they will upgrade. He says the recent introduction of phones with color displays could lead to a revival of the market. Microsoft has made its first concessions to the European antitrust authorities in a sign that the US software giant is taking steps to avoid harsh penalties from Mario Monti, the European Competition Commissioner. The moves are expected to open weeks of negotiations between the company and the European Commission, which has been investigating for more than 3 years whether Microsoft used its strong position in the software market to stifle competition. Mr. Monti has the power to fine Microsoft up to 10% of its worldwide turnover and demand substantial changes to its business if he finds it guilty of breaking antitrust law. However, John Frank, Microsoft's European Counsel, said on Monday that the company had made concessions that addressed some of the key concerns raised by Brussels. It would make available to the industry two technical standards, enabling rivals to make full use of its Windows operating software. The Commission has been investigating allegations that Microsoft used its dominance of the software market to gain a strong position in the market for servers. Some rivals, led by Sun Microsystems, the US server maker, have complained that Microsoft has refused to provide information that would allow non-Microsoft servers to communicate with Windows. Mr. Frank said the decision to release Microsoft's technical information on an encryption language called Kerberos and an internet standard known as Common Internet File System would address those concerns. He acknowledged that the concessions fell short of the measures demanded by Sun, but said those requests were excessive. Up to now, Microsoft has said it was willing to negotiate with the Commission, but has stopped short of making concessions. However, Monday's move is likely to be only the beginning of a long process of negotiation. The Commission declined to comment, but competition experts say it's unlikely to be satisfied with the offer. In particular, Brussels could require some concessions on Media Player, the video software that is the other focus of the Commission's probe. And UK standards body OASIS is expected to publish its final XML schema for online voting later this month, paving the way for online voting in the UK. The release of the XML election schema, which will provide a consistent way for data used in online voting to be described, will forge the way for people to vote online in general elections. The schema is one of many being created by the non-profit Organisation for the Advancement of Structured Information Standards, OASIS. And that's News Briefs for this week.